What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Velocity. I'm, of course, Vil. Here with me, I have a few guests. You know, it's been a while since we had a full podcast, but I have Mr. Kyrell Lavelle.
Yes, sir. What's going on,
Vil? Two-time state champion.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Yes, sir.
We got Mac once again.
What's going on? What's going on?
And then we have a special guest, Mr. Michael Grady. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you guys.
Thank you. Thankful to have you here. And let the people know what you do.
I'm the television play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Okay. And if you
Warren student.
Yeah, former Warren student. Yeah. You also did some Pacer games and Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, so it was Pacers for a while. Did radio and television here in Indianapolis, and then went on to New York and was with the Brooklyn Nets for 5-6 years, and then from there on to Minnesota.
Okay. I'm gonna start it off. I feel like we all have questions for him, so I'm gonna just get mine out the way. Obviously, it's been a while since you've been here, so just seeing the change from when you were here to now, how can you just give me insight on that little change and what you noticed?
Yeah, it's been an explosion in things from podcasts and vodcasts and different things like that, YouTube, all that type of stuff, which was all in its infancy when I was in school. And so when I was coming through the program, if you wanted to be behind a microphone, it was going to be you hosting a radio show, or you're going to be a DJ or something like that. And the number of people that really wanted to participate in that was small. So I'm looking at the classroom right now. I see all those monitors, all those desks. There might have been 10 desks in there when I was here. And I might have had, 8 classmates, and 2 or 3 of them were really serious about them. The rest of them were curious, but a few of us were really serious about it. And so I lived in this room. I lived in the super studio, these production studios. I kind of knew what I wanted to do. And so any opportunity to get an after school shift to do a little DJing or to do play by play for the, boys basketball, girls basketball, or the football team, I was all over it. So to look at it now, the football field, the old press box, which looks like this little small beat up little thing, that's where we were broadcasting from. The new press box is completely foreign to me and dope. The studios and the way that the equipment has all been upgraded, it's really been amazing to see, and to know that everything is in good hands makes me really happy, because I would not be where I'm at right now without this program.
I was thinking, what's the process between going from just a high school commentator to a professional NBA commentator?
It's just the work that you put in, and the reps are everything. It's the leap. It took a number of years, but I appreciated every job that I had along the way, which prepared me for where I am right now. But the reps are everything. I was knocking out a read earlier, and the guys, "Oh, you did it, did it in one take." It takes a long time, to get to a point where, you're reading things over and over and over again before it feels natural and things go smoothly. So for me, it was just the work. And I related to things that I see. I think maybe an old quarterback may have said this about, he sees a lot of young quarterbacks who love game day, love being on TV, throwing touchdowns, crowd going crazy. They love that. But the practice days, Monday through Saturday, they aren't as passionate about that. And that separates your great quarterbacks versus guys who don't really make it. You have to love the dirty work Monday through Saturday, if you will, the grind, the passing over and over again, looking at film, studying film, understanding your opponent, Monday through Saturday. And if you appreciate that, then that sets you up for Sunday to really be great. And that's something that I had to embrace. And even, doing games now, and the Timberwolves are top team in the Western Conference right now, and I have a ball every single broadcast. But it's the work, leading up to every single game, and the preparation leading up to every single game, that makes it fun. And so so one quote that always sticks with me is the key to success is self-confidence, being confident in what you do, right? But the key to self-confidence is preparation. And so this stuff is fun, being on the microphone, all this, and you 2-time state champion, I'm sure it's great, when you're winning and whatnot, but you put in a lot of work, obviously, in between meets to be successful. And you take that into the workplace, you take that into what you're doing, and there's really nothing that can stop you. So that's the one thing that stands out for me, is that I may be elevating, but the work and the grind is still the same, if not, go up another notch too.
Yeah.
So the progress, you know, you said you've been through a lot of stages, you know, in life.
Yeah.
I'm just curious on, like, you know, was basketball always your end goal? Like, did you go into college knowing you wanted to be a basketball reporter, or, like, were you just, you know, channeling around and fell into that?
Yeah, you know, I thought I wanted to do music for a long time. I thought I wanted to be, like, a music DJ or whatnot because I love music and I love sports. But I got to thinking about it a little bit. I did some job shadowing, and to be in a studio and listening to the same songs, like, over and over again, every hour, same songs, I'm like, I'm going to fall out of love with the music. You know what I mean? So I love sports, and it was football and basketball, neck and neck, right? And basketball just slowly but surely, like, took the lead.
Right.
And so having an opportunity to work with the Pacers made a difference there. And when I was with the Pacers, they were on quite a run with Paul George and getting to conference finals. And I knew, you know, that I wanted to do play-by-play. I knew play-by-play was the ultimate goal. And just my passion for basketball, I think Michael Jordan played a big factor in that for me, and watching him and watching those broadcasts, you know, way back in the day. And it just kind of fell that way. And so I kind of put a lot of my energy into that. And even though I did different things here or there, the goal was still the same of play-by-play for basketball. Right.
So in college, I know it's like a lot of different routes to take.
Yeah.
College, what route did you choose? You know, like the communications or broadcasting? Like, what did you major in?
So when I was here, my junior year, they saw how much effort I was putting into what was going on. And again, our classes were small. We didn't have a lot of students. So they saw that I was separating myself. And so they paid for me to go to a broadcast workshop at Vincennes, which is like 2 hours south of here, if I'm not mistaken. And I really liked their program. They did a TV newscast every single night. They had three like major radio stations there, and it was a 2-year program at the time. And so they sold me on the fact that, look, you're doing 2 years of radio and TV at Warren Central. If you go to this school, you probably have to do schoolwork and stuff, like, you're not going to get behind a microphone right away. Vincennes, we're going to throw you right to the fire.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, let's keep the momentum going. Yeah, let's keep it going. So I really liked their program, so I stepped in there. I majored in broadcast sales there. They had two different majors there, but I was still able to do host shows, different things like that, get my feet wet and everything that was going on in broadcasting. And then when I left, I sent resumes out to basically every radio station in Indianapolis, and WIBC reached out to me, and they gave me like a weekend shift on Saturdays. And the shift that I was doing, again, it wasn't sports related show, but I had a foot in the door at the station that was carrying Pacer games and Colts games. So I knew I was in the right spot.
Right.
And within 6 months of being there, I started producing a sports talk show there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that eventually led to me getting my own show and doing that for almost a decade. Okay. So every move, everything, again, it started here. And the fact that I had a leg up on everybody when I got to college, I was telling Cash earlier that when the first day of school, they asked, who has radio background? They're talking to all the freshmen. I was like, yeah, me. Someone else raised their hand, and it was my Warren Central classmate.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else in the room had any radio experience. So off jump, I felt like, I'm competitive. Like, I got y'all. Y'all cooked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that all that thing just gave me confidence, because it's super competitive in this industry. It's super competitive. And you have, you know, we may not be I may not be hooping. I may not be playing for whatever, but I'm super competitive. And I just really wanted to try to separate myself from everybody.
So when you were talking about WIBC, what's the process of going from, like, a radio host to the play-by-play guy?
So radio host was fun, and I appreciate every experience that I had. And being a radio, having radio experience, and whether it's doing podcasts nowadays, whatever it is, it just teaches you how to tap dance. And being a radio show host, you know, we're live. I was 10 to noon every single day. And, you know, you have 10-minute segments, and you're learning the ins and outs and how to keep an audience and teasing and things like that, how to conduct interviews. And you're filling space, and there may be days where there's not a lot to talk about, and you have to be entertaining. and so those are all tough, and that gave me just a great education from that standpoint. So from go to the radio background to then doing TV, you know, I was working for RTV6 doing sportscasts, and that's 3 minutes. And so they're saying, hey, you know, we don't have a lot going on today. Can you fill 3 minutes? I'm like, host a radio show. And this is nothing. I can fill 3 minutes, and like, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
So having radio first and then going into television was just was a smooth transition for me. And then going to play by play was a whole other animal. And the difference there is just the preparation is somewhat the same, but the way I prepare for NBA games, there's so many statistics, there's so many numbers out there, there's so many stats they can throw at you that I could literally fry my brain looking up stuff. Yeah. And I have a ton of notes, and it's broken down. And so when the game starts, I have a story that I want to tell. And then I have a color commentator, but I also let the game unfold. I let the game lead. And so I may have stuff in my notes that I took time to research, mm-hmm. but I don't get to it.
Yeah.
And so Mark Boyle, who, was a big time guide for me, he told me over prepare, but don't over present. And sometimes guys try to force in a broadcast stuff that they, I prepare, I studied for it. So, I researched it. So I got to throw it. Let the game dictate all of that. So I would say, It's its own form of jazz. I think being a radio show host, Monday through Friday is its own form of jazz because you're following the stories and you're in it, you have a game plan going in and you let kind of the stories of the day dictate things. But an NBA game is just a different fast paced, animal. And again, we have, a hell of a team with Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns, and they're playing really well. And been some big highlight moments this season already. And we have 20 more games to go. But it's just a different animal. The preparation in terms of the effort of preparation is somewhat similar, but it's just unique. And both of them are very unique.
Well said. And now heading into the final question, of course, mm-hmm. I am a huge NBA fan, probably the biggest in this room. But obviously you've had experience broadcasting the Pacers, Nets, and Timberwolves. And I feel like I'm asking probably the most obvious question. what was your favorite game or favorite moment to call? In your time,
I've been fortunate enough to be around some really good personalities, I've been kind of lucky. Yeah, so
Anthony Edwards now,
Paul George's rookie year was my first year doing PA, and then his last year was when I left to go to Brooklyn.
Synchronized.
And so didn't mean to go that way, and I didn't know. And then those teams went to two conference finals, battle LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in the conference finals. They faced them 3 years in a row. One was in the conference semis, and then 2 years in a row in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those games are always memorable. Went to Brooklyn. First year, the Nets won maybe 21 games. Mm-hmm. Second year, D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. They went to the playoffs that year. And then the following year, they got KD and Kyrie Irving.
Boy.
And so now I went from watching Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell in practices to now, oh, snap, that's Kyrie Irving. Like, oh, I'm dapping up Kevin Durant. And then a year later, James Harden comes in. Now it's these three monsters on the team, and they couldn't put it together to win a title, and couldn't stay healthy, and COVID messed things up. But to watch three masters, whether folks like things about them or not, three masters of the game go battle and practice and things like that, and then games just annihilate opponents when they were healthy is wild. And Anthony Edwards right now is a budding superstar. Like, he's going to be a problem, and Towns is terrific. But the answer that I'm going to give has nothing to do with any of those stars. The year before I took the Timberwolves job to be play-by-play, my main gig in Brooklyn was sideline reporter, and then I would fill in to do play-by-play. Mm-hmm. We have Ian Eagle, who's one of the best play-by-play guys around. Ryan Rucco is his backup. And whenever both of them were unavailable, then I would step in and do play-by-play. So we're talking maybe 8 games. One of the games I filled in, Kevin Durant dropped 53. Another game, Kyrie Irving had 60.
Against the Magic?
Against the Magic, where they were chanting his name in Orlando, right? And then another game I had, Ryan Rucco came down with COVID before we were playing the Knicks at the Garden. Mm-hmm. So me growing up in Indiana, the Garden is like a special place. Reggie Miller went in there, choke signed to Spike Lee, dropped 25 points in the fourth quarter. So many memorable moments from my childhood was my team smoking the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. So whenever I go to MSG, it's always a special experience. But I had never done play-by-play there at that point. Ian Eagle's already off. Ryan Rucco is came down with COVID. And so I had a day's notice, and they were like, hey, we need you to fill in. I was like, okay. So I go in there. Kevin Durant is out. Kyrie Irving is out. James Harden ain't playing. So we got a bunch of just bench guys in this big game against the Knicks. And we were down 28 points in the game and came all the way back. And Cam Thomas, who was a rookie at the time,
that's when he took off,
drained a three at the top of the key and basically iced the ball game. And that was a significant moment for me because I feel like I called it well. Mm-hmm. I met the moment, and the Timberwolves hired me off of 10 games that I did that particular season. But that was a pinnacle for me.
Well said. That's all from us, of course. Thank you, Mr. Grady, for coming in. You know,
absolutely.
Have you answer the questions, of course.
Absolutely.
Mac and Rello, I appreciate having y'all. I have class with y'all. Rello, we're going to have an episode soon. Mac, two-time, two-peated. But, yeah, that's all from me. Thank you for listening to Velocity. And, yeah, that's all. Peace.